I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures. And it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress that is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. It's a great mattress at a very reasonable price point. Comes with a 20-year warranty. And a great deal for our listeners. Douglas is giving you a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand. I'm joined today by Emma Rose Title. She is a Maclean's Magazine columnist, a National Magazine Award winner, and my first cousin.
You just couldn't find anybody else, could you?
Hi, Emma.
Hello, Jesse.
I think it's becoming clear to our listeners that Canada's brave new independent media is just as nepotistic and corrupt as Canada's old corporate media. Give me a second here, Emma. I want to just take that head on because people are going to say to me that like I'm obviously just doling out favors to my family here. And we should be clear about this because Emma is much younger than me. How old are you?
I'm 25 years old.
She's much younger than me. But her salary as a journalist is already higher than mine. She has already won a gold National Magazine Award. I only have a silver. I'm an aging straight white dad. She is a hip young queer. What I'm getting at here is that Emma's brand is already stronger than mine. So, like, if anyone is doing a favor for a cousin here, it's Emma.
First of all, that is the nicest thing you've ever said about me. Thank you. Second of all, how do you know my salary?
I know everything about the media in Canada. I should clarify, though, that your personal brand is not why I've asked you here today. I've asked you here today because you always have intelligent and smart things to say, and you have been arguing with me about the news since you were, like, 8 years old.
And I should add, I have been winning.
It's debatable, but should we get on with it?
Yes.
Welcome to Canada Land, Shortcuts. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Jerry Deacon, Emily Brown, Sean LaRose, Tennis L. Mercer, Sean Soderman, Travis Reitzma, Emily Rossi, Jonathan Wooten, Max Lupo, and Haley Kenyon. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's amazing the things that we tell ourselves to talk ourselves out of getting help. Anybody who's actually gotten help knows that the process of getting things off your chest, of taking your stressors, your problems, and just like not letting them be bottled up, working through just conveying them to somebody, half of the battle is just doing that. You unburden yourself. And you know what? If you have a real mental health professional, no, they don't have magic bullets or magic words that make it all go away. But often they can help you see things a little bit differently and guide you to strategies or tools or to a new perspective that actually does BetterHelp. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Because you listen to this podcast, you get 10% off of your first month at betterhelp.com/CanadaLand. That's betterhelp.com/CanadaLand. This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer, and it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer.
So on days like this where, you know, the story takes a number of different pathways, a number of changes occur, and often rumors start in a situation like this. We're trying to keep them out of our coverage, but when they come sometimes from official sources, like members of parliament, you tend to give them some credence, but you carefully weigh it with what we're also witnessing.
Terror on Canada's Parliament Hill.
There is a shooter on the loose.
There were numerous gunmen.
Two or more shooters currently on the Parliament roof.
The potential that this was another terror attack.
A Canadian claiming to be with ISIS posted this message on Twitter.
I have a friend who's with the Ottawa Police Department, and I texted him a few minutes ago, and here's what he replied back.
And tonight, Canada's capital, Ottawa, is still on alert.
All right, so that is the very reasonable and sober and stoic Peter Mansbridge just sort of taking us by the hand through the horrible events of the shooting in Ottawa, contrasted with the hyper-sensationalistic tabloid American media making hay out of this national tragedy. We all know that narrative of the Canadian media having done so well that day.
It was almost like we were congratulating ourselves on our balanced coverage 5 minutes after the shooting happened. I kept seeing Facebook status updates, you know, with headlines from American media just juxtaposed with ours. Meanwhile, we're still reporting things wrong.
Well, that's it. And like, it was just on the heels. I mean, before we even knew what happened, we were already patting ourselves on the back. I mean, like, listen to some of this.
Yesterday, we were given a masterclass by CBC and Peter Mansbridge on how one should actually cover an historic event.
And not to get too political, but I think this does sort of demonstrate the importance of a strong, well-funded public broadcast.
Hear, hear.
First and foremost, we have a picture up here of the headline in Canada, "No Time to Be Afraid in Canada," compared with, quote, "Terrified Capital" on CNN.com.
There simply is no comparison between the U.S. media and the Canadian media. They blow us out of the water. I am embarrassed to be American.
A writer at TV Newser lauded Mansbridge's coverage, saying it wasn't loud and urgent, it was quiet and somber. And as such, it felt very, very important. It felt proper.
It was proper. I mean, isn't that interesting? It was proper. Like, we have to make a distinction here between matters of tone and matters of substance. Everybody seemed to agree on the tone, that the tone of the American stuff is disgusting, and that's the proper tone for something horrible as it's happening, is the tone that Mansbridge had. But what about the content? Matters of substance, like the act, like this is the news, right? Like, it matters if you get it right. I feel like it's calmed down and we can finally talk about it without people getting really emotional. There was a moment there for a few days where I felt like I couldn't talk about any kind of critique of the national narrative that we were building. Mitrovica, he said some nice things about me recently. I'm going to like come right back and give it to him. He's got some balls on him because he was out there like days after the shooting on iPolitics and just pointing out everything that was wrong with the Canadian coverage and this romance that we were building around our the way we handled it. So the first thing he pointed out, we're talking about news, is everything we got wrong. So the Canadian coverage is so great. Well, there's a quote, "We were told there were two or more shooters," wrong. "We were told the shooting was likely linked to the hit and run death of the other soldier in Quebec," and that there was some wider conspiracy afoot. That was wrong. We were told that the shooter, Michael Zahef Bibo, was on a high-risk traveler list. Wrong. We were told he wanted to go to Syria. That was wrong. Even the idea of the hero, you know, every story needs a hero, the sergeant at arms hero story, that was collapsing, or perhaps that has collapsed. I mean, you know, the guy was shot at least a dozen times and possibly dead before Kevin Vickers fired his gun. And not only did the Canadian media get a lot of things wrong, they didn't get the true information first. CBS News was the first to identify the name of the shooter, and that was leaked to American officials by Canadian officials who then leaked it to the American press. So if you really want to contrast the American press to the Canadian press, you could point out that the American press actually reported the news first. As we step away from this and that kind of moment where it felt like, oh my God, Ottawa is under attack and who knows, and ISIS is like at our door and maybe there were three shooters, like that's like dissolving now. And I think everyone's kind of just like reckoning with the possibility that this was just like one mentally disturbed drug addict with a gun.
That's true. But there's a difference between tone. And I think what he was criticizing was the sentimentality of it. You know, he mentions in his piece,
Mitrovica.
Yeah, in the States when immediately after there was a hockey game between the Leafs and the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Penguins played, it was a home game in Pittsburgh, and they played the Canadian national anthem. And he criticizes that in his piece and this whole tone of Mansbridge as this grandfatherly figure. Personally, I like that. When there is some kind of crisis on Parliament Hill or wherever, I may be very sentimental, but I find that very reassuring. I like to turn on the TV and see Peter Mansbridge being a grandfather. If you're talking about the actual reporting and the accuracy, that's totally different. And I think that's a question of just the news cycle being in hyperspeed and we report tweets as facts.
Okay, couple things there. Let's take it apart because I agree. Like when you're scared, I mean, I feel like we've almost done away with the need for like Walter Cronkite to come on at the end of the day or some other, you know, grandfather and tell you like, that's the kind of world we live in today. Everything is going to be okay, except when shit like this goes down. And then we remember that we love to have grandpapa who's like preferably like a graying old white dude to kind of just like, everything's going to be okay. And it was like, so like, you know, you say, I like that. I liked it too, but
you know who else likes
it?
You know who else likes it? Kids like it.
Yeah.
When I was like, I don't know, 11 and the Twin Towers went down, I liked that stuff. I turned on the TV and it made me feel better to hear people saying, we'll all stick together, and to see people singing the national anthem, even though it wasn't my own.
But is that the role of journalism, to like be like an emotional salve on the insecurity you're feeling? Like the job is to tell you what's going on. And we failed at that. That's not just Mansbridge.
We failed at telling people what was going on.
Yeah.
And that is a bad thing and a failure. But I think we can improve reporting and the accuracy of reporting and still have that nice sentimental tone. I think it makes a lot of sense that you're into this angle because you like to pretend that you're this, you know, hard, cynical guy when you're really just a teddy bear and everybody should know the truth.
Well, when shit went down, I was a teddy bear who wanted to just like curl up in you know, Grandpa Petey's arms and have my head patted. I did. And I certainly was like, any kind of like skeptical or critical or curious thought I had about the coverage, I kept to my fucking self because I understood the tone. There's a double edge to it because like there's the comfort of having that grandfatherly tone, but it also is a warning. You know, it's like, don't stray from this fucking narrative, okay? We need our heroes and we're coming together as a nation and Harper's going to hug his opponents. And then meanwhile, some new legislation is getting thrown. Like, and immediately, those connections were being made. And a very cynical government was the machinations were afoot. And the connection to ISIS was being made where, like, it wasn't really founded in the facts. So I don't know that I can kind of just like, well, what's the harm if we just want to be made to feel nice? You know, because there might be a harm to that. Emma, tell me about this recent column of yours.
So I wrote a column about the public reaction to Robin Williams' suicide in the summer, and I compared that with Amanda Bynes and her current sort of unraveling in the public eye. Amanda Bynes, if you don't know, she was an actress who was, So when I was in maybe grade 5 or 6, every day I'd come home and I'd watch the Amanda Bynes show, which was her own sort of variety comedy show, where she would play herself and she would also play a stalker. She would dress up in character and she would play her own stalker. And so the show would shift between her on stage and she would be doing her thing, and then she'd go backstage and then her stalker would come out. Her name was Penelope Taint, and her stalker was this clearly mentally ill kind of crazy person who, sorry, this doesn't make sense.
You're losing me a bit, but she was like a child star, and being crazy was part of her
shtick. Yeah, she was a child star and she would pretend to be crazy.
Right.
And so now the irony is that now she actually is crazy. She just came out actually today and said that she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Uh-huh.
So before, for the past 2 years, people have just been speculating based on her erratic public behavior. She's been throwing bongs out of windows, tweeting at various celebrities, telling them they're ugly, making a lot of racist slurs. And throughout this whole ordeal, most of the coverage, not just from tabloids, has been very unsympathetic.
Okay, so two crazy celebrities who you argue the media treats very differently. Let's actually listen to some of the media treatment of them.
Okay.
Starting with, how everyone reacted to Williams' suicide.
I hate to have to report this. Actor Robin Williams is dead at the age of 63.
From apparent suicide. That is all the information that we're getting at the moment.
The world has lost one of its true comic geniuses.
For all of his wild, often improvised humor on stage and on screen, behind the scenes, he struggled mightily with substance abuse and depression.
We all are celebrating here the premiere of Expendables, but at the same time, we are mourning the loss of such a great man.
It's almost unimaginable how someone who seems to have so much joy in his life, how he brings so much joy to others, could be in a state of misery.
Depression is a disease, and unfortunately for Robin, he wasn't able to seek the appropriate help.
There's just one positive glimmer from this tragedy. It is that we are having an open dialogue about the state of mental illness and the negative stigma that's attached.
There are problems that affect not just the famous, but millions of people. What's being done in Canada to bring these issues out of the shadows?
So there you go. Everyone took it very seriously. Arnie soldiered on. He still was able to celebrate the Expendables, but also mourned the loss of Robin Williams. And, you know, we all did. And here's how the media reacts to Amanda Bynes.
Amanda Bynes, you know, the more you hear about the story, the sadder it gets.
The more bizarre, too.
Yeah.
She's one of the top trends this afternoon.
She tweeted to Drake that she wanted him to murder her vagina. I mean, we're assuming she means sexually. It's kind of hard to tell with these crazy celebrities.
I wish I could take it easy on her, but sometimes some of the things that comes out of her mouth, you know, she called a lot of people ugly, Jay-Z and Rihanna. All I can really do is pray for her, to be quite honest.
Here with Jimmy Fallon, who's nominated for his late show.
I gotta be, I'm just happy to be alive. I gotta be honest.
What's wrong?
Amanda Bynes gave me a ride over.
Okay, so there's Amanda Bynes walking into a liquor store to wash gasoline off her dog.
Is there somebody with the last name Bynes that can please come get her?
Evidence that the troubles could all be manufactured for attention.
Could her recent public outburst be a cry for help?
Okay, so what did you make of that? I mean, there's obviously a difference there, but like...
Well, I want to be clear first that obviously Robin Williams committed suicide. Amanda Bynes has not committed suicide. So
yeah,
it makes sense that the coverage of the former would be bigger and more sympathetic than the coverage of the latter. However, Amanda Bynes clearly needs help, and she has not gotten any of the supposed sympathy that we're supposed to be giving mentally ill people right now.
And why do you think this distinction exists?
Well, I think this distinction exists mostly because Amanda Bynes is suffering in public, and the things she's doing are very weird and make us uncomfortable, and it's harder to sympathize with somebody who makes homophobic racist slurs, and Robin Williams suffered in silence. I think there's also a bit of sexism at play here, and the way we view women is generally we see them as... We aren't surprised when they're more hysterical. We aren't surprised when they cry, whereas when it comes to men, we are surprised. And so I think it's easier for men to be stoic and for us to view them as being stoic than it is for us to view women this way.
Yeah, I mean, let's be clear. You didn't write a column about how, you know, Robin Williams was treated better because he's dead than Amanda Bynes. You wrote a column about like a gendered thing, like a sexist distinction between how we treat female mental illness and male mental illness. I mean, you wrote about the distinction between essentially treating somebody like a tortured artist versus treating somebody like a crazy bitch.
Exactly.
That's what you wrote. I have some things to say about that, but Barbara Kay had some things to say about that as well. So Barbara Kay, you know, longtime journalist and columnist, mother of Jonathan Kay, who has been on Canada Land and who's now the editor of The Walrus. Here's what she said. She said, titles apples to oranges comparison makes no sense. There is no logical indicator pointing to gender as a causal link to the disparity in public reactions, but there are other obvious facts that better explain why the public accorded Williams more sympathy than they do to Bynes. Williams is dead. Bynes is alive. Williams suffered in stoic silence, protecting those he loved from public displays that could be hurtful to them. Bynes has offended minorities and caused an innocent family member horrible humiliation and pain. She's referring to Bynes accusing her dad of molestation, which turned out to be bullshit. That all sounds reasonable, what Barbara Kay is saying there. Like, to me, that's like, yeah, I don't know if, like, both in terms of the fact that one is alive and one is dead, and that Williams didn't do any of this public stuff to make other people's lives horrible. And it's also kind of relevant that, like, if it's about the tortured artist idea, Robin Williams, I'm not the biggest Robin Williams fan, but he was
– Yeah, I know you're not.
He was an artist, you know.
You've said many disparaging things about Mrs. Doubtfire and Flubber.
And look how you ignore all the things I said about the Fisher King.
No wonder you don't like Peter Mansbridge.
I don't see the connection there either. That's another apples to oranges one. But like – at least there, Barbara Kay is making – I agree with her. I think
– I agree with her too.
Yeah. And I think I could point holes in your argument, like we certainly didn't treat Charlie Sheen with a lot of respect when he was having like a very public, you know, psychological meltdown.
Well, there you've just destroyed me. It's over.
But I also think there's a nugget of truth. Like it's totally true what you're saying. Like, okay, I'll go on the other way. Like Amy Winehouse. Okay. Now that to whatever extent addiction is a mental illness or not, but here was a woman who was of undeniable genius level talent and who was in front of our eyes dying and was clearly in need of help, and who our reaction to this was like there was like an Amy Winehouse death watch, and she was treated like, oh, crazy crack whore. There was totally a gender discourse there that I don't think would have been in place.
Yeah, I think we expect this kind of behavior from women, or when it happens, we're not surprised. But when men show that they're suffering from mental illness and start displaying erratic behavior, we are more sympathetic and we view them as being stoic when they start to address their issues or when they come out and say that they're going to address their problems.
Yeah.
But then you did kind of disprove my argument with Charlie Sheen.
I just almost feel like you need like better examples. I think like your point is right, but your examples are they don't quite click.
Britney shaved her head.
Yeah.
She was going through some tough things.
Yeah. We certainly didn't go easy on her.
No.
But there's more to this, because that article about you that Barbara Kay wrote is only one of the articles that Barbara Kay wrote about you. Here's what Barbara Kay has said about you throughout her extensive coverage of you. A smugness, a sense that her own meager trove of received wisdom suffices, that she need not challenge herself with further study in order to justify her privileged podium, colors titles entire oeuvre to date. Another quote here, carelessly expending the least possible effort in building an argument, which is title's standard modus operandi, can make for superficially peppy prose, but all too often her hot air-filled columns collapse to limp shreds of empty platitudes with the merest prick of even one actual evidence-based fact. Title is not without writing competence and basic intelligence. She gave you that.
What more do you need?
Sadly, Title's languid spirit of inquiry and jejune columns stand in awkward contrast to the mature journalism so amply on display in shamingly close proximity to her own.
That is harsh. Well, to be fair to Barbara Kay, in 2011, when I just started working at Maclean's, I wrote a blog post about her columns. She uses the word elites more than Doug Ford does.
Uh-huh.
So basically, I just listed how many times she's used the word elite in the last year or so. I just went through her columns and I was like, everybody is an elite, left, right, center, it doesn't matter. She's always railing against elites. And I thought that was funny. So I wrote a short blog post about it.
So you started it.
I started it, and I just want to say, Barbara, if you're listening, I want this to end. I want to make peace, and the method I've chosen to do that is song. So, Barbara, if you're listening, I wrote a song for you. It's called B and E.
Let's hear it.
Barbara Kay, we don't have a lot in common, but if you're game, I'd like to take you out for ramen. Barbara Kay, We'll get cozy at Ryoji. Barbara K. You'll really get to know me and you'll see that we can be best friends forever.
That was Canada Land Shortcuts this week. I hope you liked it. You can email me at jesse@jessebrown.ca. I read them all. I respond when I can.
We're both Jewesses with conviction. We can work it out.
I am on Twitter at Jesse Brown, and Emma's Twitter handle is Emma Rose Title.
Title is spelled like Keitel, like Harvey Keitel, in case you're confused.
Thank you, Emma. The website is at canadalandshow.com, and the crowdfunding page is at patreon.com/CanadaLand.
About we'll go to men's rights rallies, dyke bars too, little bit of me and a little bit.
This episode was produced by Andrew Norton. We will have another episode up for you on Monday. If you like Canada Land, support it.
We'll walk hand in hand through the oil sands, burning books by Betty Friedan. I'll take you to Bonnaroo. We'll meet Molly under the moon. And you'll say, hey, it's okay to be gay. And I'll say, hey, it's okay to be K. Barbara, Barbara, Barbara K. Doesn't have to be this way. Barbara, Barbara, Barbara Kay. I really hope we can be friends someday.
I cannot believe you wrote that. This is going to be so weird.
It is really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.